This week's podcast is not brought to you by a skit, but actually something real. Gamer Graphics, who will be on hand at Good Old Game Fest 2016.
Lyle, do you like stickers?
I love stickers.
Do you like posters?
I love posters.
Do you like Japanese candy?
I like the weird ones.
Yeah, like the wasabi Kit Kats. Oh, they're so good.
They're very strange. Also, I've tried some weird Japanese fizzy candy one time that was pretty wild.
I'm going to try to have some of that on too. But
nice.
For this year's game, good old gamers.
Fucked it up.
I did. Whiskey's getting to me.
It's okay.
At this year's good old Game Fest, I'll have all these things. Bring your change, because shit be cheap.
Welcome to a very ill-prepared and bizarre week of the Good Old Gamers podcast. I'm Lyle McClendon, and I am, for once, actually not joined by Brandon Gentry tonight. So we can safely say, for just tonight, Brandon, go fuck yourself. But that being said, filling in for Brandon Gentry this evening, since he's gone, one of the founding fathers, Mr. Josh Duncan, is here with me.
Hey, wasn't I kicked off this show already?
Yeah. We're kind of dicks around here.
Yeah, how are you, Lyle?
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing all right. How about you?
You know, life's a motherfucker, right?
I agree. I've been working so much, planning for Game Fest. We're really in the throes of planning for all of that right now. I haven't really even had time to play video games. It's been like that for 3 weeks, so that makes me a shitty podcast host. But, I mean, working 10 to 12 hour days and then trying to juggle a marriage and your podcast and playing video games, it's fucking tough.
Yeah, it is.
Hence the reason Brandon isn't with us this evening. Brandon's working second shift now. I'm back in college, and it's putting a supreme fucking on him.
Yeah, I heard the college system was putting the shaft to him.
I have a feeling we'll probably hear from him tonight, but it's kind of odd, the first episode in our history without Brandon, but I mean, that's how shit is, and at least your old familiarity somewhat.
Well,
before we put boot to ass on you,
yeah, again.
But I'm glad that you're back with me tonight. It's kind of been a slow week, but for what little we have, we're gonna kick off our fabled news segment. Did you happen to see what Nintendo said earlier?
I have not.
Nintendo made an announcement. Well, the guy from American Nintendo America of America said that they got to change the way that people think about the NX, and they're trying to promise not to repeat the marketing mistakes of the Wii U, which, you know, in a way, It may or may not, but I don't think that's something good to say. You know, to be like, we have to change people's way of thinking about this. You know, it kind of makes me think that they're probably going to be pitching another, you know, another gimmicky console.
Well,
I'm assuming. Which I don't. Nintendo's always been about innovation.
Well, you say innovation. They've also always been about, hey, what's this gimmick? You know.
Oh yeah, they're very gimmickal or gimmickal. God damn. Created words right off the bat.
Gimmicky.
Yeah. He said they need to do a better job of explaining the NX to customers, which I really think it's going to be, it's going to have some sort of slight motion sensor sensitive capability to it.
It's probably going to have a tablet.
That's what I'm thinking. It's, you know, they're saying it's kind of like a portable thing that'll have a home docking station, which, I mean, we've talked about that in the past couple weeks, but yeah, just the way they're going about talking about everything, it all but confirms it, you know, to a certain degree.
I've been sitting here just
smoking my cigarette,
rolling through my brain. Was there anything that came with the Super Nintendo that made it gimmicky, that launched with it. So that was their real...
No, because, you know, the NES had Rob.
Yeah.
Which I don't consider the light gun that gimmicky.
No, it was Rob. That was the gimmick to Rob. Get it back in stores.
Super Nintendo, I don't think, did.
Maybe they had just had a big enough stronghold. You know what the GameCube was, don't you?
Was it the ability to hook the Game Boy Advances?
No, man.
No, I don't. The Game Boy Player?
No, it had the handle. It was portable as shit.
Yeah. Well, I kind of riled some people up a few weeks back talking about... Pretty much because I said the GameCube was my least favorite Nintendo console of all time, I think. And I'm not saying it's a bad console, but it was my least favorite. And I had a couple people be like, oh, you motherfucker.
I like the GameCube. You know, like, hell.
I don't hate it.
The Super Nintendo was way better, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, just look.
Well, see, I really wasn't a Nintendo kid at the time GameCube came out. I'd already kind of, I was on the PlayStation 2 bandwagon.
The same thing I did, you know, like. After the PlayStation 1 came out, I was like, this is my game system now.
I'm actually planning on picking a PlayStation 4 up at Christmas, I think.
You mean by picking it up, by getting it under a tree?
Yeah. I think my wife's going to pick it up.
Oh, hopefully. So are you dropping enough hints for it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she knows what I want. Honestly, I want it for, I want to play like Bloodborne really bad. That game just looks uber cool to me.
Do you want
to
play No Man's Sky on it?
No, but speaking of No Man's Sky in the news, apparently the PC community for No Man's Sky has dropped by like 90%.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I was telling you
Is earlier, it tanking that bad?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are very unhappy with it. You know, if you go on Twitch right now, I watch Salty Bet. I'm an Illuminati and Salty Bet. And I watch it constantly. Well, usually the way, especially when I pull it up on my tablet, Twitch is arranged so that, you know, of course, the more people who view things are higher up, you know, in the playlist. So, like, usually it's Counter-Strike, Dota, sometimes Minecraft's pretty high in there. And usually Mugen, which is what Salty Bet is based on, is probably around about down 20 or 30 spots. Thursday night, I logged on to Twitch to start watching Salty Bet, and it was No Man's Sky was literally 3 spots under Mugen. There was maybe 60 people watching that entire, like, all like 6 Twitch streams. There were 3 people who were streaming with no viewers.
Mm.
And that's rough when that's a game that came out. What, a week ago?
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, maybe. Yeah,
and maybe. Well, it came out early for a lot of people because they were breaking streak date everywhere.
Man, I know a few people's got it, and honestly, like, nobody I've really talked to that has the game, which is like 3 people, granted. But usually out of 3 people, you'll have 1 out of 3 or something. All 3 of them are like, man, they kind of said the same thing. They're pretty much like, it's a great idea, but it wasn't executed that well.
Yeah.
And it gets boring really, really, really quick.
I watched an hour and a half of a review from Giant Bomb where they did, you know, they sat down and pretty much from the very beginning started a playthrough.
Yeah.
And they did, like I said, the first hour and a half of the game or so. And within 15 minutes, I was like, this is the most tedious, boring thing I've ever seen in my life. And I play Minecraft.
I play Minecraft now, and it's kind of shame on me for getting... I joined a server.
Yeah.
Is what I done.
You're playing on PC.
I play on PC on a role-play server.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm a police officer now, and it's got, like, little mods and shit where you can jail people and that. Yeah. Pretty much GTA on Minecraft. And, I don't just log on there crazily, but it's a nice little thing to pass the time for like 30 minutes to an hour a day and fuck around with.
See, like, me and my wife, we play a lot of couch co-op because my wife's a gamer. I'm a gamer. Well, I used to be. I haven't played any
couch co-op. That's what they're calling it, what you young people do today on these couches.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, like, anytime an update would come out, we'd sit in front of the TV, and me and her would play for 4 or 5 hours. I mean, you know, literally had, like, just sat there and be like, you want to get food? Yeah, here in just a minute. And then 2 hours later, oh yeah, we never did get food.
Yeah, get sucked into a game like that. Emerald likes Minecraft pretty well, and since they do that cross-platform play shit now on the Realms, I thought about getting it for Xbox or something so she could actually hang out and play with us.
It's really fun on the Xbox. You know, it's
of course I had it's not, it for a while.
It's not expansive on the Xbox that is on the PC.
Just the thing about the PC that makes, I think, better than the console is just the mods, of course. I mean, that's the same. That's one of the... To me, that I mean, you know, I know a lot of times PC ports are somewhat superior, but to me, a lot of times that's all that to me makes a PC port of some stuff better is just the the ability of like, oh, you can mod the shit out of it. Like, and I downloaded Skyrim recently, and I've never been a huge Skyrim player, but I kind of want to get on there and check out all the mods they have. And
yeah, there's some pretty cool ones. The one that changes all the dragons into My Little Ponies is pretty cool.
That'd be... Talking about a hit to your manhood, though, just being slaughtered by fucking My Little Pony.
Oh, yeah. And I'm by no means a brony. And ooh. I'm looking at them and I'm like, wow, like, I could totally get down with that. Like, that's really cool. Not the brony part, the mod part.
I mean, if that's what you're into, that's cool. Some of the brony shit's kind of really odd to me, but whatever.
Yeah, we know what about our Space Clops.
What the fuck is that? I don't even care.
It's Reddit.
I don't care.
Anyway.
NSFW. Not safe for wanking.
Yeah, well, whatever you want to put it at.
Yeah.
I believe that's not safe for work.
I understand that. Well, see, the kind of work I do, I can,
You're saying you can jerk it in the bathroom?
Pretty much. You can,
You gonna paint the bathroom walls?
With my seed. Darksoft is a company that is working on a flash cart for Neo Geo AES and MVS.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
And there,
anybody who's got an MVS cabinet for sale, I'm looking for one.
We're going to have an MVS on hand at GameFest that's been converted for play on the TV.
I don't like that. I'd rather have full stand up.
Tough shit. We wanted an AES, but I don't even know anybody that owns an AES.
No, you don't want an AES. You want the MVS.
I don't want another arcade cab for Neo Geo. We wanted the Neo Geo for the console. You know, we don't. That's like one of the main consoles we're lacking is an AES. We don't have a Neo Geo CD. We did look up. We're going to have an Atari Jaguar on this year. So,
well, you can find those in the dump, can't you?
No, actually not. They're like I actually found one on Craigslist last week. You know, just out of curiosity, looking for one for GameFest. $200.
I heard about somebody who bought a whole bunch of Jaguar shells.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that he did, and he's also got a great new console coming next year. He's bringing back early disc-based consoles. It's called the Mic CD console.
Really?
Yes, it's amazing. It's 64 bits, but it's actually got just two 32-bit processors in it. Do the math. But anyways, these guys are working on doing a flash cartridge for Neo Geo, and they revealed it in 2015 and have been working hard on it since then. And pretty much, it's a multi-cartridge that it runs from a combination of FGPA and DDR, and it allows space for up to 4 different games to be played at anytime.
That's cool.
It'll probably have a built-in menu and all that. The flash cartridge is going to be about $400 upon release. But, you know, considering how much Neo Geo carts
that sounds like a bargain.
Yeah, that's very reasonable, because you're talking about having $1,000 worth of Neo Geo carts.
And the cheapest ones are around, like, what, $100 to $200? And that's, like, the garbagest games ever.
Yeah. That's the bad shit at that.
That's like Mutation Nation. It goes for, like, $100, $110. And it's, like, nearly the bottom of the ranking list for Neo Geo games.
It's the butthole of a...
It is definitely the butthole, because it is a terrible game.
And, apparently, they are coming out with an HDMI-ready 720p video adapter called Upper Graphics for PC Engine. That's coming out. This other company is making it. It upscales your PC Engine CD to support it on 720p, and man, it makes games look sick.
Really?
Yeah.
It just sounds like that would be really, really cool.
I think it actually comes out at the end of this month. I'm trying to look for Upper Graphics Video Adapter is the name of the product. I can't find. They haven't announced like a price for it, and nor a release date. And I can't even find like the actual main company's name. So Upper Graphics, you can look that up. That's pitiful, isn't it? That's really all I have for news this week.
I don't have anything.
I'm trying to, there was something else I wanted to say, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was. Brandon, shame on you. Shame on you. Which, I mean, yeah, shame on you.
Don't look at me like it's my fault.
I'm not. I'm trying to.
You're trying to save face for Brandon.
Yeah. Plus, Emerald walked in. I was seeing what she was doing. I had something pulled up on my computer, and I can't remember what it was now. It was about video games. It must not have been important, so in typical shitty podcast fashion on my end, that's all for news. That's for me.
Yeah, well, being ill-prepared. It's not for me, so.
It's for me being super fucking ill-prepared this evening. I don't have anything funny to talk about. Anything like that. So you've been playing any games lately? I figure we could just bullshit for a minute and do something different for once since a randomly weird episode. Been playing anything other than arcade games that we're going to be speaking of?
I just started Just Cause 3.
How is that?
It's really fun. Like
you can do anything pretty much in that game, can you not?
Pretty much. I'm just now at the very beginning of it, but man, it is like amazingly fun. Being able to grapple to pretty much anything and tether, like I'm only just now where I can tether two things together. But, I mean, you see a barrel, you see a man, guess what? Tear the two together, then zip them together, and it's awesome.
Nice. I haven't really had the chance to play games, but we've been busting our hump on Game Fest.
Yeah.
I figured we could talk about that for a moment, being that it was kind of... You're gonna be at Game Fest.
Yeah, I'll be at Game Fest.
Tell me, are you excited about Game Fest?
Oh, I'm extremely excited.
What are you most excited about?
Because Khajiit has wares.
Yeah. You're excited about the profit end of it.
Oh, not profit. No.
You fuck. Nah. So are we. We're donating 10% of profits, by the way, to the Coleman Veteran Fund.
And that's really cool that y'all are doing that.
I mean, we got veterans and shit in our family. So, I mean, that's a noble cause, you know. I like donating money to stuff. I want to be able to donate money to stuff that, you know, it might actually do some good, not just go in somebody else's pocket.
You don't want to go in somebody else's coffers and sit there like, look how much money I have.
Talking to the guy at the VFW, you know, we can tell the money for that will actually be used like for things they need there. And that'd be cool because, I mean, it's helping us out being able to rent there this year because we got double the room. And Brandon, just right before we started recording, sending me like a rough sketch of some plans. Anybody that is listening that is local to us, we may end up needing some CRT TVs. So if you got a couple extra TVs you would like us to borrow, we would mucho appreciate it. Also, trying to get some other stuff done. We're going to have tournaments, man. It's shaping up. We keep having a lot of people ask about tournaments. Definitely Smash Brothers, definitely a Pokemon tournament. Mortal Kombat X has been a big want. So that'll probably happen. Roscoe is not excited about Mortal Kombat X, apparently. But
I will be actually doing a high score competition on Dig Dug where if you can beat my high score, you can get a fun prize pack.
Hell yeah, that'd be badass. Well, being that we're going to have like four or five main cabinets there, we're going to do a Miss Pac-Man a high score challenge and like a small Kong off as well.
That's
some
cool.
Sort, if we have enough input on them. I know the Miss Pac-Man, we've had some on Donkey Kong. Not as much, but we'll see.
I think I know someone who would win that anyway.
Yeah, probably. We're talking about doing a Nidhogg tournament as well. Nidhogg was a big success last year. Have you ever played Nidhogg?
Yes, I have. It's great.
It's fucking wild. It's a great party game. That would be one, if I could get enough people over here tonight to get drunk and play, that would be
So you're wonderful. Already halfway there, right?
I am. I would be in it to win it if we were playing right now. But it's going to be a fun time. We're planning on having some vendors. Right now, I don't know if Brandon would want me saying this, but as of now, we're going to have probably about 4 vendor spots. We've already had a couple people call, and they're probably going to have spots, so probably 2 left. So as of now, you know, that may change. If, you know, if it does, we'll let everybody know, pretty much. All my animals are just raising hell today. Roscoe's barking in the other room. The birds in there making a lot of noise now.
Because a woman of the house came home.
Yep. It's going to be a unique episode.
So what are we talking about tonight?
I guess we're going to be talking about like arcade shoot 'em ups and bullet hells. Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about this on podcasts earlier, but we haven't really went into detail.
Well, do you know the difference between a shoot 'em up and a bullet hell?
I do not, Josh, but the more you know, the more you learn. So why don't you school me on that, actually?
The difference between a shoot 'em up and a bullet hell, with a shoot 'em up, you watch the enemies. With a bullet hell, you watch your own
ship. Yourself.
Yeah.
I would like bullet hell more, I suppose.
Like games like Radiant Silver Gun?
Yeah, would you consider
Dodonpachi,
like,
yeah.
Would you consider that a bullet hell?
Actually, I wouldn't.
I haven't played a super shit ton of the games where it's like the bullet hell where there's literally so many bullets on screen, it's like a pattern just figuring out how to maneuver.
Exactly. You know. That's how Radiant Silver Gun is. And it is one of the best games that ever came to the Sega Saturn.
Well, it really sucks because I haven't got to play anything because my arcade is MIA right now. I had a power surge and my MAME file is like corrupted.
Yeah.
So it will not play any of my games. It will not pick up any of my controllers. I'm actually going to Huntsville in the morning to take the arcade and my Atari 400, which is malfunctioning as well, to get them fixed and ready for Game Fest.
Yeah, like a...
But I know a few shoot 'em ups and bullet hells, so I think I'm in a good enough stance to talk about it. And I have heard about Radiant Silver Gun, because Radiant Silver Gun is a very expensive game now for Sega Saturn, I'm pretty sure.
It's a very expensive game, and I'm glad that I own a really good copy of it.
You got it for Saturn?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yes.
Well, guess whose house is getting B&E?
It is not at my house.
What?
My mother has it stashed away. I have all my Sega Saturn games in a big tub, vacuum sealed, and I wasn't going to mess with anything. I know I have Street Fighter, the movie, the game, Clockwork.
Street Fighter, the movie, the game. That was wonderful. I had that on PlayStation back in the day. And I had it in the big tall case, too.
It ran so much better on the Saturn.
Everything like that. Saturn was underappreciated. Wow, yeah. Radiant Silver Gun import, $199, the Japanese one. American one, some of them selling for like $300 and $400.
Yeah. So it's one of those games where I haven't touched it since I put it away, and that was in about 2000, and I think the year 2000.
One of my favorite shoot 'em ups is a PlayStation one that I have, and I actually found this for really cheap, and it grew on me really quick, and it's actually out on Saturn. It's a Thunder Force 5.
Never heard of that one.
It's they have a Saturn port and a PlayStation port. It's a side scrolling shooter.
So it's a Gradius type.
TechnoSoft made it, yeah. But I guess it kind of constitutes as a bullet hell at times, too, because it literally, your screen gets overrun with shit where you don't worry about shooting. You just worry about
dodging
evasive
maneuvers
the whole time. It's actually, it's a semi, I mean, not super expensive. It's about
$7,500 game. I found it at a thrift store for like $2.
Nice.
It's got a, had a, you know, Technosoft, they released, and it's a working design shooter. I've actually talked about it on here before, but it's really good.
Let's see, the two games that I picked out that I played one for about 6 hours last night. It was Pro Gear, which is it's a Japanese, it's made by the other one's made by Video Systems. That's Sonic Wings is the other one that I was doing. Pro Gear is made by Cave. And if you know any of the Cave shooters, it is a bullet hell.
It's Capcom published that game.
Yes. And it's weird because I've called it a three-quarter shooter. Because most of the time you're side-scrolling, but there are levels where you're going directly up. Now, you're a plane, but you're going directly, like, straight up. And it's really, really strange, but it's so good.
Does it have an extremely tall screen? Like, can you go, like, you know, can you scroll up past the screen?
No.
Okay. I'm thinking of something else. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, where it's like an extra long screen?
Right. Yeah, this is it's kind of steampunk. I would call it like a steampunk World War II shooter. You have a gunner and a pilot. So your gunner shoots separately than your pilot. If you hold the A button down as you're playing, you can switch between your gunner and your pilot. If you switch to your gunner, the pilot moves slower. If you switch back to your pilot, you move faster. And it's really, really good. It has a burst fire. So if you're not like a hold on the button, if you hold on the button, it's a constant stream of bullets. If you let off the button, it has a spread. So if you actually can time it right, you can keep a constant spread of bullets onto the play field. It's really cool. And it has that like that Japanese flair of like spider tanks and steam engines. And it's a really, really good game.
Nice. I don't think I've ever played it. I want to say I've seen it before, but dude, a lot of the newer bullet hells, I'm kind of out of the loop on. But is it Don Don Ponchi or
Dodon Pachi?
Dodon. I can never any of these names. I talked about one earlier on Hot Dog Storm.
Yeah, Hot Dog Storm. That's when you first got your main cabinet. Was like, well, this looks weird.
Yeah, I was purposely scrolling through, you know, looking for shit that I'd never heard of, and I'm like, Hot Dog Storm.
You were looking for the adult games, weren't you, Lyle?
Oh yes, all those fucking Mahjong games. I have no idea how to play.
Hey, I've gotten actually pretty good at some of the Mahjong games. It's Shogun. It's not Mahjong. Mahjong is like a card betting game, where Shogun is a match game.
That's one thing when I get my cabinet reprogrammed, I'm going to be like, no Mahjong games, please. Because I literally had like 300 Mahjong games. Fuck that.
I've probably deleted probably 150 off mine, plus like a lot of the touchscreen stuff, and I think I've made it through the D's on my main cabinet and still haven't deleted enough of them.
Fuck all that. I really wish... talking about shoot 'em ups and shit, I really wish Sky Cursor would end up coming out on console. Yeah. Man, did you ever get a chance to play yet?
I believe me and you both played it at the Huntsville Mall before they shut down that arcade.
No.
Is that not Sky Cursor?
No, Sky Cursor is like an in-development game by these three dudes from like up north.
Oh, okay.
But they had it. They had a working demo of it at Southern Fried this year. The guy that owns Pints and Pixels, Richard, he actually has one of the demo units. And it's a bullet hell, and the big boss battle one too, but you actually, your ship has a sword, and you're able to like slash and shoot.
Oh, that's cool.
And like, so it adds a gameplay tactic of, you know, a boss being attacking you. You can actually slash their attacks and deflect them and use that to injure them and then just lay into them with a gun.
Is it a vertical or a side-scroller?
Side.
Because there was another game like that you could play. That was Radiant Silvergun, yeah. Radiant Silvergun had a slash feature in it.
Does it?
Yes.
Would you consider, like, Geometry Wars? Like a... Because, I don't know, like, the kind of the looseness of that gameplay is kind of what makes me just be like, you know, it's not going vertically or horizontally.
Well, it's a twin stick shooter.
That's the best way of describing it, is being a twin stick shooter.
I mean, like, it's so good. Like, the original Geometry Wars, I lost so much time to that thing.
Geometry Wars evolved, I think, for Xbox 360. I lost some hours on that shit.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
We used to drink a lot of beer and play that game, because that fucking techno soundtrack, man, turn it up real loud, and then get in the zone with it and blow up, and you're just like, fuck this! Throwing the Xbox 360 controller.
You know where that came from, don't you?
Mm-mm.
That came from the guys over at Project Gotham Racing. They just made this side game, and we're just like, well, we'll have it in here. And that's where that game actually came from. Like, they had it as an Easter egg, and then they put it out as a full release. And Project Gotham Racing isn't around anymore, but Bizarre Creations, like, pretty much does nothing but Geometry Wars now.
Nice. I didn't even know they had another one out. Until here recently.
There's three, yeah.
I had no idea of that.
It's weird because three is on a... some of the levels are on like cylinders. So imagine in three-dimensional space, you have to rotate the cylinder. Like, you have to go one way with the stick and rotate around the cylinder to kill all the enemies. It's pretty crazy.
Kind of like Tempest?
Nah, not quite like Tempest. More like... you're in three-dimensional space,
yeah.
So you imagine a cylinder on the screen, right? And it rotates this way, which is like around, and you have to go around the entire thing to kill stuff. They have it on spheres and stuff like that. It's really weird. It's really tough.
So you have to like run around the cylinder like this.
Mario Galaxy
stuff come up at you?
Yeah, you know, like Mario Galaxy style.
You know, okay.
It was on like planets, and everything was kind of had that weird like sphere shape to it. That's how that game looks.
Okay, I got you. I was just kind of confused the way you described it. I'm like, man, that sounds just like Tempest.
It's not Tube Shooter.
Okay, got you. Did you ever play the game Viewpoint on PlayStation? It was a really old shooter. I actually had it. I traded with a friend of mine and had it back in the day. Not for long. I traded it off. But I can't
say I've played that one.
It was wild. It was kind of like... it was one of the ones where the... I guess like a 3/4 angle.
Yeah,
is that how you
three-quarter
describe
angle,
it?
Yeah,
it was kind of cool.
Another really good one is Sonic Wings, and that's the one I
never played that either.
Oh man, it's strange. The pilots in it, it's Aero Fighters in the U.S. It's Sonic Wings in Japan, and man.
Oh, okay, I got you. It's Aero Fighters.
Aero Fighters, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The fabled Aero Fighters.
Yeah, it has the dolphin as the pilot in one of them. And it's pretty crazy. But that is a pure shmup. Because it is, and it's a good shmup, too.
Shmup.
Shmup.
Shmup. Shmuppets. Jim Henson's Shmuppets.
Learn the vernacular, dick.
It's just a bunch of, like, little... Muppets that play fucking shoot 'em up.
We're not playing Twinkle Star Sprites.
That's what I was wanting to talk about. I love that game.
I'm glad I turned you on to it.
It's pretty good. Me and Brandon's talked about it on prior episodes. You've talked about it on here. I know every time you come on, usually we talk Neo Geo and stuff like that.
We've been playing, like, me and my wife have been playing a lot of Puyo Puyo. And
I remember Puyo Puyo when I was a kid on Saturn. My friend had it, and I remember he's like, man, I hate this game. And I went over to his house and ended up, I didn't have a Saturn when I was a kid. And I remember playing that and just kind of being like, this is pretty good, man.
Yeah.
I don't see why you hate on it. I actually had an LCD Puyo Puyo 2 back in the day.
Really?
I think it was a knockoff, but.
Hey, man, it's still Puyo Puyo.
It was the exact same thing. Even like the little LCD sprites looked identical.
So. My wife is really good at Dr. Mario. I'm terrible at it. And she just constantly goads me into playing with her.
Goad.
But son of a bitch, she's really good at that.
Dude, Dr. Mario is pretty great. I kind of want to get... have you seen Dr. Luigi?
Yeah.
They have out for Wii U now. I thought about getting it and just getting... I'd like to challenge Demetrius at Dr. Mario.
Like, you putting your life in your hands when it comes to that, man.
I need some challenge, man. I don't have that very often. Nathan was talking some smack to me about playing RBI baseball too on NES, and I'm like, sure. And hell, I spanked him like 19-2.
You heard that. You heard that, folks. Whenever you see Lyle, just slap him in the face and be like, I challenge you. If anybody brings a white glove, I swear to God, if anybody brings a white glove to Game Fest and slaps him in the face with it, I'll give away something.
If somebody brings a white glove to Game Fest, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not responsible for theirs or your dental bills. Because somebody's teeth will be back down in the back of their fucking throat.
Law, you wouldn't take a you wouldn't take a slap to the face with a white glove. It's a glove. Don't be a woman. Wait.
No, I'm not terrible. Being a woman. Like being a woman, I would slap them back. Being affirmative with action, I'm just going to knock their teeth in their throat. No, we're not going to promote violence at Game Fest. Game Fest is a place for happy things. Seriously, do not fucking bring a white glove. I will find out where you sleep, where you stay, who your relatives are.
If you bring a white glove and just bring it up to the, if you bring it up to the gamer graphics table, I might be able to do something for you.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. If you just go up and piss all over Josh Duncan's table, I'll kick you out, but I'll give you credit. I guess
credit does nothing.
Actually, don't please don't come piss on anything. That was a terrible summer Sunday evening. We're going to title this episode just Supreme Sunday or Saturday pre-Sunday evening drunken randomness, because that's what this is turning into.
Yeah, pretty much.
We've talked about bullet hells all the way to Dr. Mario now.
Yeah,
which is fun.
Which what like
in Game Fest?
I've been playing a lot of games on the arcade machine lately. Which
I gotta get mine fixed.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of which. Of course, I'm always playing Dig Dug. You know, like that's so far. I've got I think my highest score is like 107,000. Nice. So, it's, which is not like a great score, but I don't know anybody else who can come close to that.
Yeah.
Playing a lot of Nibbler, and holy shit, that's a hard game.
Speaking of Nibbler, have you heard of the movie that's out now about Nibbler?
No, I haven't.
Man vs. Snake, it just came out. They're calling it kind of like the spiritual companion to King of Kong, but I kind of think this is a little more real, maybe, than King of Kong. And I watched it there, and I actually have it. We should watch it. And it's about the guy that held the record back in the day during the Twin Galaxies day, and a guy now trying to beat him for it, and him trying to hold out because to beat the record in the game, he was the first player to get 1,000,000 points on it.
Wow, that's
and it's going for good. It's going for like 2 days straight playing that game, and it's really good. You know, it's like the whole trials and tribulations kind of deal of trying to get a world record, but it's really good. You saying that just made me think, and I actually showed Brandon Nibbler on his arcade there not, and he's like, I've never heard of this. And I was like, it's a crazy amped up version of Snake.
Yeah, and it's arcade such style. It's such a good game, dude.
It's fun. The only thing that sucks is the sound effects. At the beginning of the game, it's so loud and just fucking abrupt.
Yeah, it's pretty obnoxious, but because anytime I actually play it, my wife's just like, ugh, because I have it, you know, I have my arcade machine in the living room, so anytime it goes on, she's just like, ugh. Like, she knows I'm going to play that game.
I'm in such a hurry to get mine fixed up. I'm going to have mine painted up and look in a little better shape. Since we got to do everything else, I might commission you or something, you and Brandon, one weekend if I can actually get them together. I got them new joysticks. I thought about waiting until after Game Fest to change them out, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I really want to take that fucking Batman print underneath my joysticks out. I hate that. It's got to go.
So I got an interesting gift the other day. A friend of mine who I work with,
was it in a box?
No.
Oh.
She was yard sailing.
Oh,
and
nice.
Knows that I, you know, play a lot of video games and play arcade machines and have some.
You get something I want, I'm just about to
it was a
pitch fit.
A Miss Pac-Man marquee.
Nice.
That had like almost like no scratches on it. It's nearly pristine.
The original, probably.
Yes. And
that's awesome.
It is it's a little dirty, but and that's why I've hesitated to clean it too much. But yeah, it is I think it has 4 or 5 scratches on the actual UV artwork.
That's amazing.
And she just come up and was just like, oh, hey, I found this at a yard sale for $2. And the lady didn't know that. Like, she was like,
$2?
$2.
Oh, man.
And it was
great.
It is in amazing shape. And she was just like, I thought you'd like this. And I was just like, oh, God. And I started pulling my wallet out. She's like, oh, no, 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 no. Don't worry about it. I was just, it was $2. I had that in change in my truck. And I was just like, that is so cool.
I love those finds like that, man. The really cheap, just great finds that you pull. I actually found some, I mean, I haven't found nothing just legendary here recently. One thing I did find, though, that I actually kind of, I want to say maybe I talked about it last week. I can't remember, though. I found, I went to the thrift store in Athens and just found, looking at their video games and shit. Well, they had some PC games. And I seen one that said Intellivision Lives and Intellivision Rocks and Intellivision Live or something like that. And it's two CD-ROMs for the PC that have Intellivision games, ROMs on them. And then one's a music CD. I didn't think nothing of it. And the lady was like, well, it's $3, but today's half price day. So she's like, it'd be like $1.50. And I was like, well, cool. You know, I'll take it. And I get it. And when I get back out in the car and get to looking at it, I notice on the front it said limited expo, limited edition expo edition, or limited edition expo cover or something like that. And I get to looking on the back and it was from the Classic Games Expo in 2007 in Las Vegas. And it was only 500 of them printed.
Well, that's really and cool.
Released. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of... More of the awe from it, I guess, comes. I'm just like, what the fuck did somebody in Athens have that for? You know, like of all places to find some shit. And I haven't played anything. I did listen to the music CD, and it's a bunch of old Intellivision music, and it's actually got like some orchestrated versions of Intellivision music. It's kind of badass.
That's really cool.
And it's got like fan tribute songs, kind of like folk songs where. My Intellivision, you know, I don't know if it's
some Jane Baez shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like fucking, I almost said John Mayer, and that's not the guy I was looking for. I can't think of maybe John Legend. It's a John somebody.
John somebody.
There's
yeah.
There's a John out there in the music world I can't think of right
Elton
now.
Elton John?
No.
It was the Rhinestones?
If you love video games. But,
I got a really
That's
cool.
That's terrible.
My mom actually gave me something really cool the other day.
Herpes.
My mother gave me something.
Herpes. We're in Alabama. That's okay. I'm sorry. I had to. That's terrible.
Like she knows I play a lot of golf.
Yeah.
And she was cleaning out an estate, and she occasionally does this, and she finds all the cool shit, and was just like, oh, this is really cool. She, in a desk, she found a Bruno's Memorial Classic golf glove that has never been worn before, which is, I know to anybody else is nothing, but to me it's like, ooh, this is a brand new glove from 1992. This is really cool. And she also found a game in there, and she handed it to me. She's like, hey, because she knows nothing about computer games or video games at all. She was just like, oh, can you play this? I start looking at the box. I'm like, well, this is an old PC game. I open up the box, and the box is, I mean, completely pristine. Like, I mean, like it, like you just pulled the plastic off of it. And it had a 5.5-inch floppy in it.
Oh, you was telling me about this.
Yeah, it was an MS-DOS game.
That's kind of badass.
It's kind of cool. Like, I was just like, wow. And, you know, I was like, well, I know somebody who would appreciate that, which would be you.
Yeah.
Because you actually probably have something that would play that.
I actually do not. That's one thing I was fixed to say. I really wish I had I would like to have one of those, the old IBMs, you know, that's just got everything stacked. I don't have any method of playing any MS-DOS shit.
I was just more
that's
impressed.
That's one thing I was really wanting for Game Fest.
I was just more impressed that the box was completely pristine.
That's pretty cool. Maybe being a golf game, somebody probably just, you know, somebody probably bought it really cheap at some point in time, maybe when CDs or some shit come out back in the day.
Well,
just kind of put it up.
The year on it was 1992.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
it makes me so sad to think about, like, you know, those kind of missed opportunities in gaming, I guess, because I said last week about my grandpa and shit, you know, we've been doing I have a question just come in.
Ooh, that's
awesome.
Nice.
Or an answer for the question, actually. But, you know, me and my grandfather have been doing a lot of reminiscing and such. And one thing I remember is Big Lots in town at one point. I guess, you know how Big Lots is kind of like one of them stores, you know, another store goes out of business and they buy it, and then they send a little bit of merchandise they confiscate from their bought out other stores to their stores. Yeah. They're like, kind of like a liquidation secondhand.
Yeah.
But whatever. I remember they got a shipment of Atari games, Atari 2600 and 7800 games when I was 8 or 9, and I didn't have an Atari, but I remember the games were like a buck a piece. And they were all like Donkey Kong, Centipede, Donkey Kong Jr., the expensive,
yeah,
not just crazy expensive, but more expensive games now. And I'm just like, man, what a failed opportunity in like some marketing or a future, not marketing, but a future.
So I have
money making.
I have a great story about, like, you know, Final Fantasy Tactics for PlayStation 1. Mm-hmm.
I mean, almost thought you said Final Fantasy Taxes for a minute. I'm like, boy, what a boring fucking Final Fantasy game that was.
It's like, well, yeah, it's already a boring. It's already a it's Final like, Fantasy
equip
game.
Equip your 50% audit materia. Equip the audit materia to really fuck this company.
Final Fantasy is already boring enough, and
a Ruby IRS approaches, Emerald Weapon IRS,
something Chocobo, but
stock market Chocobo.
I bought from a friend of mine who was running through some hard times. He had a PS1 game. It was Final Fantasy Tactics, and I bought it for $7. And I think now that's one of those games that's it's probably worth a good chunk of change, especially when it was brand new. It had never had the plastic off of it, and it was one of those things where I was just like, you know, I got rid of it because I was just like, well, I really don't need this, so. Can't remember where I got wheeled and dealed to, but yeah, that's one of those things that, you know, you come up on a deal and then later on you realize, oh shit, I had something good.
Should have jumped on it.
Yeah.
I do that quite a bit, or I have recently. You know, sometimes I hate it because I have money to go out and buy games, because that's one good thing about retro gaming. You know, unless you just... When you do find a gem, it's usually, you know, just one of those great finds. It's usually really cheap.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a few. I've had like literally 2 to 3 in my now 8-year-long collecting spree of retro gaming shit. You know, you don't find that many, but when you do, it's usually pretty cheap. So I'm getting at, and I usually have money to go out and find shit. But every time I go out looking for shit with no money is when I find fucking everything.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. I didn't really have much money to blow on games and shit last week. And then I went out, ended up finding like Mother 2 for dirt cheap.
Yeah, that's cool that you found that. I saw that.
Couldn't believe it. And it sucked. It had some Asian child's save files on it. There was like a level 81 and 82. And my Super Nintendo Model 2 is kind of like ghetto rig now, you know, to play a Famicom game. Yeah. I don't want to break the insides out to be able to put the game in, so I just took the top part of the shell off, as you can see, and I bumped the cartridge and wiped it. And I'm just like, fuck!
No.
I destroyed your heritage! Fuck! You know?
You need to get in there and check that battery and see if it's good.
It works.
It does.
Yeah, I've done played around with it. But I like those finds, and it's just... It seems like every time... I'm not looking or don't have the real means for something. I find something. I'm just like, damn, I can't live without.
Yeah.
And I'll like haggle myself into getting it. Or a lot of times I've just been like, nah, I'm going to leave this here and then go back later. And like, man, I could have.
Yeah. You should have bought it.
Cause I don't really believe in flipping games. Not like, I mean, you do what you do for money, but you know, I've bitched and moaned a lot before about resellers and shit. And resellers suck because they kind of, you know, especially ones that hoard shit and resell. We've said time and time again on the show, bitched about hoarders and all that. They drive the prices up for everybody eventually. And I can understand reselling and flipping, though, for your collective purposes. Like, if I get a game that I don't really give a shit about, like, I'm fixing to start Chrono Trigger right now. And I have never, I'm not saying I do this with Chrono Trigger, but I'm using this as an example. If I were to not like Chrono Trigger, knowing that it's an expensive game, it's not one of them games where I'm like, going to hold on to because I know it's expensive. I'd rather sell it and get the money that it's worth and use that to actually put towards some shit I want. You know, it works like a trade system. Yeah. I'm drunk and rambling about that.
Yeah, and hey, if anybody has any like of Chrono Trigger, I will have posters of the original Chrono Trigger Japanese Super Famicom box art at good old Game Fest.
I'm going to have my Mario print you done for me on display.
Yeah, that's a good Mario
print. I had it hanging up and it fell down. I'm going to actually try to frame it.
I did a Mario. I've got a Mario 3 print that looks, you know, it's the box. Like, I do a lot of box covers.
I want to commission you to do me a print. I want a big print of the original Zelda map.
I've got the original Zelda map already done.
I kind of want a spin on it done, though.
So, you know, when you go through these images and you start trying to find stuff that, you know, that you can print, a lot of these file resources are from editors, from video game magazines.
Yeah.
So they put those to print, and the highest quality ones you can get are things to print, but they're also to magazine print. So I have a Zelda 2 map that had every secret highlighted in it.
Still one of the that's fixing to be a goal of mine.
Yeah,
like I haven't really made an announcement on the podcast, but one of my ongoing game, I've been slacking on my game discussion topics here lately, and with all the stuff going on my grandpa, I'm fixing to go back and play through all the games that me and him played, and I'm fixing to make that a mission of mine, is to finally fucking beat Zelda 2. I even downloaded it on 3DS, and I'm still stuck at the same fucking point I've always been stuck at.
Really? What point is it?
I think it's the fourth dungeon. It's where you get the boots and walk across the water, mm-hmm. and shit. There's just a boss in it. I could probably look up a YouTube video and learn how to an easy way of defeating it, but I'm trying to do it all without any knowledge of anything, because I've read through walkthroughs of it before, but I honestly don't remember a lot of that shit. And I'm trying to just play through it without, you know, anybody else's help with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's one thing. I remember my grandpa started playing Zelda when I was, like, in kindergarten. I got Zelda. I got my NES and Ghostbusters Mario, my first two games. And then that following, I think I got the NES for my birthday. And that following Christmas, I got a bunch of games. And I got Zelda 1 and 2 at the same time. And I remember, you know, I was like fucking 5 years old. I couldn't comprehend Zelda and shit that well. I loved it, and I've always played it, but I remember like in first grade, him finally beating Zelda and just thinking that was, holy God. You know, I remember people at school, like Brandon, I remember him being a kid like, Jesus, how in the fuck does one man do this? You know, like, it is possible. Wow, that was impressive.
That beer's good.
That was impressive.
Pottsville, Pennsylvania, baby.
Pottsville. I'm confused.
That's where Yingling comes from.
Oh.
You
well,
know, good beer. You're sitting here drinking Wife Beater Light, and I'm drinking good
hey,
beer.
Hey, this is a fine Pilsner beer, according to the can.
Yeah, according to the can.
Inside this Pilsner beer is brewed with the highest quality. Yeah, I'm not reading the fucking
I was going to say, are you like literally reading the contents of a beer can?
I was. That was. Any other games you want to talk about? We might can do our.
So I found this weird game on my main cabinet. It's a train game.
A train game.
It's a train game.
Like a train simulator.
Kinda. You're a Japanese subway train conductor.
Oh God.
And of course, like this is supposed to go on a specifically made cabinet that has like all
train
the levers.
Train
operator cabinet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So the buttons don't quite translate, and I only know so much kanji, and it's way over my head because it is entirely in Japanese. And yeah, it's pretty fun until you can't figure out how to hit the brakes, and then you blow through a train stop at 90 miles an hour, or well, 140 kilometers an hour, and most of everybody in your cab is killed.
That's awesome. That's all I would do.
It has really cool features where, like, you know, if you're coming up to somewhere quite too fast, it'll have a little screen that pops up, and you see people's like feet falling out from underneath them. Like if you start going too fast, because you have to keep it at a certain speed.
Do they all make like terrified.
No, there's no passenger screams.
Oh, that sucks.
But there is like a lot of flashing things. Like it could give you an epileptic seizure because there's,
as most things in Japan,
yeah,
can do.
It like seems like everything, like there's big like exclamation points flashing on the screen when you get really close. And again, I have an accelerate button. Like I figured out which button was accelerate, but I have no button that tells me, oh, this is decelerate. I found a hard brake, like the air brakes that you could turn them on and shut everything off. But when you're doing, like I said, like 140 kilometers an hour, and then you hit the air brake to shut everything off, most of the people fly out and die.
You need to, we need maybe at Game Fest, need to do a thing. It's just like, try to not kill everybody on the train. And just, they're like, what's the rules of this? We're like, oh, you're on a, you just, like reincarnation is real, and you just fucking woke up as a train conductor. Figured out it's like kind of playing real life speed movie, like not cruise control.
Let's see.
That would be kind of. I'm kind of interested to try that. Just I don't know. I wouldn't mind just killing everybody on the train.
It's really strange. And then something else I've been playing, of course, is a fighting game. It's Street Fighter II Rainbow Edition.
Rainbow Edition.
Yeah. The Rainbow Edition is any fireballs follow. So if you jump, the fireball follows you. Oh, shit.
Really? Is it like a hack?
Yeah, yeah. It's a
hack. That's cool.
If you hit the start button, you can change to a different character mid-match. Like, so you can cycle through about four characters during a match. It's Championship Edition. So you have all the bosses, and they're all the original Japanese names. So Vega is actually... Vega is Balrog. Balrog is M. Bison. M. Bison is Vega.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Weird. No.
Yeah, in the Japanese version, when they put out the Championship Edition, Sagat has always been Sagat.
Yeah. Because Sagat was actually in the original Street Fighter.
Vega, who was the guy with the claw.
Oh, yes.
I have
a fun story about Vega and a child.
His original name was Balrog, and M. Bison was a play on Mike Tyson was the boxer, so that was currently what is now Balrog. And then the main boss, who is now M. Bison, his original name was Vega, right? So in fighting game circles, they actually they don't trust what version they're playing, whether it's a Japanese version or Japanese version or an English version.
Yeah.
So that it's called Claw, Boxer, Boss, or Dictator.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's a...
That's some new Street Fighter 2 shit I did not know. That makes sense, though, about the M. Bison thing. Do you think maybe they translated it, swapped it around, just so that similarity wasn't... In America,
yeah, they didn't want any kind of litigious ramifications. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's weird you say that. I was watching, or had YouTube playing earlier while I was cleaning my house, and it was cycling through videos of celebrities being dickheads, and there was a lot of videos like Mike Tyson be like, "I beat your fucking ass," you know, like
"I fuck you till you love me."
Yeah, that's the last thing you said is like, "I'll fuck you till you love me." Bleepity bleep,
dude.
The funniest thing I've ever heard about Mike Tyson is, and I don't think Seth MacFarlane is extremely funny, but one of the things he said on one of them roasts I seen, fucking Mike Tyson was coming up to do a roast, and he's like, "And my next guest, the only opponent he's never defeated is the letter S." And I was just like, "Yes,
yeah, dude." Mike Tyson was a scary mofo.
Well, dude, crack cocaine and being fucking juiced up all the time, and, you know, you make your living beating the fuck out of other people. Yeah, that's terrifying as shit.
You can't teach the power he had, man. You can't inject
that. No, man. Power. Like, Mike Tyson was...
He was legit, like, oh, man, that's some... I remember watching the Holyfield Mike Tyson fight, and when he bit Holyfield's ear off, dude. Oh, man, that was like, he's hit
sitting there
times.
Grinning at you and shit, blood running out of his mouth. He's like, yeah, now I'm about to get a tattoo on my face.
What you think about Mike Birds and stuff?
Y'all want to go to the Kith concert? man, I don't want to. If you're listening, Mike, please don't drive all the way down here and stomp my ass.
I was just going to say, my name is Brandon Gentry. I live in Coleman.
Maybe we should talk about Brandon. I kind of feel like it's Brandon's dead. I think the egg lady may have got a hold of him. I don't know. Well, maybe we should talk something about Brandon.
We'll talk to him about Brandon. Where is Brandon?
Brandon is, he needed a family day, man. And a day off to handle shit, so.
Well, you said earlier we might hear from Brandon.
We may do it. Actually, let's talk about our question of the week real okay. quick. And we'll go from the question of the week into our calls, since we're going to be hearing from Brandon. And let me look the question up. Okay, here it is. Our question of the week last week was, what is your favorite what the fuck moment from a retro video game? And we had a few answers on this and a few answers of our own, but... Josh Goins, a buddy of mine, Pogo, he said he was playing Secret of Mana for SNES earlier and saw something strange that lasted about a second. Opened a treasure box and a little man popped out and then jumped back in and disappeared. I looked it up and apparently there are a lot of weird things about this game. I think the weirdest stuff I've ever witnessed on any NES or SNES that was probably either a Japanese release or a ROM hack game, which are always pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Japanese games, tend to have some odd shit. A lot of Japanese games, of course, coincide with, like in anime, you know?
Yeah. Like the Mother series.
There's a lot of weird shit in the, you know, that's something, if Brandon was here, you know, he's uber-duper knowledgeable of. There, and he's discussed, you know, on here before a lot of the weird shit that's in that game.
Like the symbolism of rape?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. That came in just a little while ago. That was the only answer on Facebook. Nobody gives a shit on Facebook. We get more... views and everything on Google, like our Google thing and all that. Tons of email and Google mail and shit, but we never get anything on Facebook. And I think a lot of it's because you got to pay to boost everything now. And it's kind of making me ill.
Have you ever thought about maybe people just don't like you, Lyle?
I hope they don't. But our download charts and listener profiles say otherwise, you know? So... I don't know. Shame on you motherfuckers. That's what I'm saying.
It's Facebook. You know you're looking at it. You might as well just go ahead and answer the question.
Well, a lot of it, too, is like we'll post something sometimes and look, and it'll only reach like 10% of our total audience. And like Brandon's experimenting with shit for you, like use the money to boost your posts and shit. It doesn't fuck you over. You get more exposure, it harbors you more likes and all that shit. So, I mean, it's just like everything else. You got to use money to... Exactly. Win. Lots of DLC on the old Facebook. We actually have some call answers, though. That's what we were going to get to with our calls. But before we do our calls, since we've only got three, actually, for all you other motherfuckers that don't respond otherwise... we have a phone number, 682-777-GOOD. We're going to actually tell you what happened. Or here's the info about the phone number. I'm going to stop babbling. 6 8 2 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7 7
For those of you who haven't called the show, a warning. If you do not call, you will awaken Satan, and infants shall fall from the sky. Bears will feast on the slow and the witless. Vaginas will turn to stone. Serpents rise from the ground, fly into your sphincter and bite. Demons will travel back in time and rape your father. Hell, Satan! You've been warned.
That you have.
That sounds really scary.
I love it. That's why I love playing those. That never, me and Brandon's both discussed that. It just never gets old. So good to us anyways. Our first call of evening's from our old buddy, Mike McDaniel. It's actually two calls. His first one gets cut off, so we're just going to play both of them back to back.
Hey, good old gamers. It's Mike McDaniel here with the answer to your question of the week about what the fuck moments in gaming. When I was a kid, some of the earliest what the fuck moments I had involved Final Fantasy 3 or 6, if you want to call it 6, it's 10, and 7. And if you haven't played 6 and you plan on playing 6 eventually, just kind of skip this part in the podcast because I'm going to spoil the hell out of it. It's such a great game. I encourage everybody to play it. But there's this one part where you have to split your party up. And normally, like up to that point in the game, you can only have like 4 party members. But you collect all of these really unique and well-developed characters throughout the game. And now you're going to go on your final mission, and it lets you choose to split up like all of everyone that you've got. You can put them on different teams and go and try to do this alleged final mission, which doesn't end up being the final mission. But this is the first time that you get to use like everybody, and it makes you feel like your decisions are really like you're actually doing stuff that's not just scripted. There's some strategy to it and stuff. It's just really cool. And then when you're getting off of this floating island and you're escaping on your airship, you have the choice to wait for one of your party members to come back from the groups. And his name's Shadow. He's the ninja character. And he's always been kind of a loner. And the clock's ticking. Like, you're trying to escape and get to your airship, and you keep coming on these random battles. And as the random battles are going, the clock's ticking down, and you're like, hey, am I going to make it on time? Because the more random battles I get to, I need to run from those instead of just trying to fight them real quick. And so you get there, and you're a little panicked, you know, because you're trying to escape. And then it asks you, do you want to wait on Shadow? And it's not just a simple, like, wait, and then he shows up, or you wait, and he doesn't show up. It keeps asking you. You can wait several times, and he's still not showing up. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to leave him. I'm going to have to go. But I was just like, no, screw that. I know I've made, like, all this progress since the big boss fight, but I'll replay it just to know if Shadow will come or not. And, you know, and you've accomplished a lot since the last save point, so you would be, like, investing more time into doing it all over again. So you really have to, like, choose, are you going to leave Shadow or not? And they don't make it easy. It was the first moment in my gaming history where I was like, oh, my God, this is actually making me feel something. Like, this is a story that I'm invested in now. It's not just, you know, like all the other action games that I've played. It's the first RPG I ever really played, and that really stuck with me. So that was my first what-the-fuck moment. And then the villain, like, he wins. That's not the end battle. He ends up destroying the world, and half the game is played in the destroyed world. So unlike other Final Fantasy villains, this villain was crazy enough to actually accomplish his goals. Okay, I'm going to pick up. It cut me off because I talked too long. Anyways, Saving Shadow was my first what-the-fuck moment in gaming, and then it was easily, like, mirrored by, in Final Fantasy VII, when Sephiroth kills Aerith, or Ares. I think it was Aerith back when I played it. But, you know, she's sitting there praying at the pool, and then all of a sudden, bam, this character that's been in your party is just ran through with a big-ass long katana from the main villain, which makes you, like, simultaneously infuriated at the villain, which is awesome. The way a game's defined by a good villain. And Sephiroth was great. Kefka was great in 6. Sephiroth was great in 7. And, you know, him killing one of your main party members that you've used up to that point, your only healer, it just was very effective. It was a total what-the-fuck moment. I didn't see it coming. I couldn't believe that she was permanently dead. It was just amazing. And I've had lots of what-the-fuck moments, but those were early ones, and they really stuck with me. So I hope to hear some other people's good what the fuck moments too. See y'all later. Have a good one.
The heiress thing, that was something that definitely bothered me when I finally, you know, got to that part. But thank you for the call. Very informative. And you're very correct. Final Fantasy 3 or 6, however you like to look at it, is a pretty legendary game. That's a lot of people I know that play the Final Fantasy games. That's their favorite.
I've never played any Final Fantasy games.
I've played a few of them. I mean, of course, 7 was the first PlayStation game I ever had. So, of course, I've played it.
You know, I just
played 8 and I played 9. I have 3 on Super Nintendo. Final Fantasy 2 is the first one I ever played. I've played them all pretty much up to 10.
I just thought of a real WTF moment in video games.
What's that?
Recently, my wife has been playing Life is Strange.
I've heard somebody else told me a lot of good about this game.
Good in a way. Now, I'm not playing it. I was watching it. And holy shit, man. If you want a heavy, depressive game, like, that game is heavy.
Is it like a narrative game?
Yeah, it's more of a narrative game than anything.
Okay.
You're a girl, you find out you can rewind time, and you choices that you affect in this reality, once you rewind, like if you make a choice on something and then rewind, all those choices have consequences. And holy shit, it's a heavy game. When a game prefaces you with, if this game has affected you, call this number. We can get you support groups. It's one of those things that's like, man,
that's pretty unreal.
It's pretty real. And it's like, at the end, I was just like, not tears in my eyes, but
I was on the verge of tearing up.
Yeah, I was just like, holy shit, this is heavy. And I get it, man. But that's a good, like, really good, like, WTF moments in that.
Before we get to the next call, one of my WTF is Cho Aniki for PlayStation. Before you leave this evening, we may try to hook my PS3 up. I have it. You can actually buy it on the PlayStation Store.
Seems like I've heard of this game.
It's a shooter. It's a Japanese shooter, but it's kind of weird. It translates to like idiot game and shitty game or something else. In Japan, these games are examples of bakage, a type of kusoge. Bakage literally means idiot game, while kusoge literally means shitty game or shit game. It's a campy game where you've pretty much, your ship is a muscled up man, and you fly through the air and shoot at biomechanical muscled up men and shit. It's really, really fucking weird, and it's got a really crazy soundtrack.
The translation for it is Super Big Brother.
It's really weird, man. It's a definite what the fuck moment. Super Big Brother Spirit Man tag is another. Yeah. It's fucking weird.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the Wikipedia.
Just look up a YouTube video of it, and that's a what the fuck moment in itself, because it's weird. There was another one released for PlayStation 2. It's like Super Big Brother Legend of the Holy Protein. And the Holy Protein is a DT-like glob of what they consider to be semen.
Oh, wait. I now that I read this Wikipedia page, I have seen this game, and it is totally weird.
Yes, I have it on my PlayStation 3. It's fucking wild.
It has a lot of homoerotic overtones.
I think we're going to like the next call. Maybe a little cameo.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
You go fuck yourself.
I'm too much of a douchebag to actually come and record because life has put a supreme cuckolding on me.
Yes.
I got to call in the question of the week. My answer to the question of the week. My favorite WTF moment from Record Gaming is on Super Mario RPG when Bowser joins your team. There's not much more badass than having Mario, Peach, and Bowser working together to whoop some ass. So, yeah, sorry for not being able to make it. I'll for sure be on next week. And again, go fuck yourself. I mean, that from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I thought we'd hear from Brandon at some point.
I knew we would. I'm glad. I actually seen Brandon in physical form today. It was pleasant. He looked like he wanted to kill himself. He had a bunch of children at his house and was planning to take him all the Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah. That's...
And with the most honest, sincere eyes, he looked up at me and he was just kind of like, I want to die. I told him, I was like, I kind of feel like that scene in Aliens is happening where it's like, kill me, please. I'm like, help you, please? No, kill me, please.
You want more children here?
Yeah. It'd be fun. I was like, at least Chuck E. Cheese is fun.
You could have left some knuckle children in his bathroom.
I'm not the brood. The next call, I've got it ghetto rigged, so I've got to turn it up a little bit. But my favorite person that likes messing with me, Mr. Dr. Claw, Mr. X himself, I think somebody maybe related to him has called me again this week. So we're going to listen what he has to say now.
This is Mr. X's great, great uncle. I was just calling to let Everett and Catfish know that they were right, that Lyle would die soon. But I was just calling to let them know they was a little off. It was not knuckle deep, it was fist deep. And I was just calling to give his family some closure and to tell them I have passed his Casio watch if they would like to bury him with it.
My what?
Your Casio watch. Because you were fist deep in someone, your watch came off.
Well, that's ludicrous. I don't wear watches. You got me again there, Mr. X, Dr. Claw. That's what I told Brandon that night. I was like, it just sounds like Dr. Claw, you know.
He just needs a cat in the background.
Catch it.
Needs a cat in the background.
Fist deep. Fuck that. I need a challenge, man. Come on, Mr. X. Okay. That was Mr. X's great grandfather, though,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Was.
Wow. I'm sorry, sir.
So,
I'm glad to see that his great grandfather knows how to use the internet, though. That's rather impressive.
So, you
congratulations, Mr. X's great grandfather, grandpapa, great grandpapa X.
You want to hear a stupid story from the internet?
A stupid story from the internet. I need something that happened in Alabama. Ooh. We do a segment around here, and I mean, that's kind of, I need to be consistent.
I was just going to tell you about Andrew WK's tattoos. If you ever look at Andrew WK, he has line tattoos on his arm. Somebody asked me one time, wonder why he has those line tattoos? And I said, well, that's how far he got up in your mom.
That's rather good. I'm glad we did take the time to listen to that. You don't have nothing from Alabama that's happened to you? We try to get the guests to tell us a weird story sometimes.
Okay, so...
Okay, you do have one.
I do, but the...
Well, then we're going to close this evening out with a true tale from Alabama. From Mr. Senior Duncan. Tell us something.
Okay. So, I'm going to be switching some things around.
We're going to change names to protect the innocent, right?
Well, we're going to change names, and we're going to be discussing a video game deal that went down.
Okay.
That would, for those of you who, of course, are not watching, that was air quotes. So, I was, me and a very good friend of mine, we're going to pick up some video games, and we were picking them up from a rather, how would you call him, skeezy gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our video games, and we go outside of his very small shack, and my friend notices that there wasn't quite enough video games here for the amount that we paid for. And, so he decides to knock on the door again and say,
holy shit, I get what's happening now. I'm sorry. It took me a minute, and I'm just like,
video games.
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha.
So, We go back in, like, he goes and knocks on the door again and says, hey, this, we were supposed to have 3 copies of Super Mario Brothers 2, not 2 copies of this Super Mario Brothers 2. And he says, well, you got what you paid for. That Super Mario Brothers 2 is worth a lot more money than you have. And he was like, no, we're going to go ahead and take the rest of that Super Mario Brothers 2 collection that you have, because he had several more of them.
Yeah.
And
Hoarder.
Yeah. So immediately a shotgun is put into his face.
Oh, my God.
Yes. The friend I was with, who was a high school friend, is not the smallest guy in the world. He's 6'2" and probably 280, and is a very... he wasn't quite the physical specimen that he could be, but he was still a very scary man.
Yeah.
And he proceeded to immediately yank the shotgun out of this gentleman's hand, turn it back to him, put him down on the ground, tie him up, and take the rest of the Super Mario Brothers 2 collection with him. And while I sat in the car going, I think we're going to die, but I'm not quite sure...
Too bad he didn't have a bunch of copies of Little Samson.
Yeah. That's a video game story from Alabama.
Very nice. The names have been changed. Protect the innocent.
Well, there's no names. The situation. The
situation has been changed. Protect the innocent. Well, I guess that's how we're going to wrap it up. Simple. Sweet. We got about an hour and a half.
Sounds good to me.
It's normal run time.
Well, of course it sounds good to me. I'm on it.
Indeed.
I'm sure I'll be booted off here in just a couple minutes.
Anything you want to talk about, or anything you want to plug, actually, before I kick your ass out of my house?
Just good old Game Fest, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
I'll be there with some fun stuff.
Yeah, dude. You do really cool prints. I like a lot of the shit you do. I like the stuff y'all done for Brandon's cabinet. I really like the Mario picture you printed me in. It's quality shit, y'all. You know, it's there's going to be some cool memorabilia there.
Yeah,
I think Emerald's going to do some perler bead art, like some of the more elaborate stuff this year. Some of that, you'll have that.
Yeah, have fun melting that, because perler beads are super fun. By super fun, I mean a pain in the ass.
I kind of want to, you know what I want to, I wish I could find for Game Fest? You remember the shrink it shit?
Shrinky Dinks?
Shrinky Dinks, exactly. Yeah. I wish I could find some of those and make some like badass little charms to sell. I don't think you can find that kind of shit anymore.
Oh, though. Man, you can find anything on the internet.
You think you can find
I've seen Dinks? Two dudes kissing on the internet. You can find anything.
That's true. I've seen that to you. Oh, Lord, I've seen it.
That sounds terrible when you say it. When I said it very innocently.
Nothing about me is really innocent anymore. My innocence is lost. Sounds like a dramatic movie for a Lifetime channel.
But yeah, just
Innocence Lost.
Just good old Game Fest. I'll be there. Well, of course, Lyle will be there. Yep. I will be having a...
it's my brainchild. I better show the fuck up. It's mine and Brandon's baby. I'd be an abusive parent if I wasn't there.
As long as you lay off the fried chicken and don't have a heart attack beforehand.
I hope I'm good. I mean, I'm still in pretty decent shape. Just... I've lost some weight, actually. It's pretty nice. I'm actually able to wear some of my shirts that were getting a little tight on me.
Doing an enema doesn't mean you're losing weight.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're about to lose your teeth.
Maybe
not. Follow us on Good Old Gamers Podcast on our Facebook, goodoldgamers.com, YouTube, Twitcher.
You mean Stitcher Twitter, and Twitch?
Twitter and Stitcher, and we're on iTunes, all that shit. I'm not going to try to ask for reviews because nobody ever gives them, so that's fine too. But there's multiple ways of finding us. We'll be back. Brandon will be back next week. I won't be here I'm glad you were here. I won't bore everybody to death.
Why were you pointing at the wall when you said I'm glad?
I pointed at you?
You pointed at the wall.
The fuck I did. These people can't see shit, so they ain't gonna believe you.
He was pointing at his dick, really.
Yeah, it was just on the wall. It's on a mantle. It just looks good in theory.
Because that's where Emma keeps it.
Yep. Yep, lock and key. Thus is the world of marriage. That's okay. Anyways, we'll be back. We'll be giving you new Game Fest info soon. Probably going to do a like a Game Fest mini episode like we did last year. We're going to, because everything's coming together. Like I said, at the beginning of this episode, Brandon just sent me the floor plan, so we're really getting shit spinning. Oh, fuck me running. I need to come up with a question for the question of the week before we go. We never did that. We usually let the guests do it. You got a question for the question of the week of before the we leave. Week. We'll close it out with that.
What is your bra size? No.
Oh. You have to send pictures to verify. I didn't say that.
What was that at Facebook? Good Old Gamers at Facebook.com?
Yeah, just Good Old Gamers Podcast at Facebook, goodoldgamers.com on the internet. You can reach us at podcast at goodoldgamers.com.
PM's welcome.
Or Brendan at goodoldgamers.com.
Do what? Well, let's see. It was kind of a random episode, so we don't
it's
have
a very random episode.
So we don't have a whole lot to go on. So what is your best pick up and play game? Something that you've never that you were just like, you know what? I've never
curious
heard of this.
About.
I've never heard this, I've never tried this, I don't know anything about this. Let me just pick this up and try it.
Okay.
I know like my game was Mario Paint. I had heard nothing about it when it came out because I lived in the wilds of South Alabama, which is, you think Coleman's bad. Holy shit, when you got to drive 30 minutes to get gas because there's no other gas stations around. That was one of those things where I was like, Mario Paint, okay? It comes with this mouse. And again, when did that game come out?
92 or 3.
Yeah, so like, I mean, I'd barely seen a computer at that point. So,
funny you say that because Mario Paint was actually my first encounter with a mouse. I mean, I'd been exposed to computers, but they didn't have mouses. You know, exactly. I've been around like Apple IIs and bullshit in school.
So yeah, it was the schools I went to. Man, they're luckily they had fucking running water. So because I mean, literally, like electricity goes out, and you're just like, well, somebody go start the generator, and that's at a school. So, what was the first just pick-up-and-play game that you were just like, you know what, I've never heard this. You know, I'd heard a lot of great stuff about the Just Cause series, but I never picked up a game and played it. And now that I'm, like, playing Just Cause 3, I'm like, shit, I might go back to the first two because this seems fucking awesome.
Nice.
Same thing with Saints Row. You know, when Saints Row...
I actually had the first two of those.
Yeah, the Saints Row, you know, came out, and I was just like, well, it's just a fucking GTA knockoff. And I was just like, you know, I picked it up, and man... Saints Row 2 and Saints Row 3. Bless you.
I'm going to rebuke you on that.
Saints Row 2 and Saints Row 3 and 4. Every one of them were so fucking good. So, yeah, there you go.
They're really random, too, just like this episode. That's a good question, though. What's your best just pick up and play discovery game, we'll say?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Good. That sounds fair enough. You know how we kick it when we go bye-bye around here? Duncan?
Oh,
hath thou forgotteth? This is why you were kicked off of here.
Well, I seem to
terminated. Remember, you're fired again.
I remember something about game on, man. Game on.
Wrong. Absolutely.
Is it?
Wrong.
Is it? Is it?
Game on?
Is it? Is it? Is it?
It's a
game start, man.
It's not game start. It's a play of man. A quote of one of my favorite
man,
movies.
Game,
so it's technically a ripoff.
Game over, man.
Game over, man.
Please don't go. The drones need you. They look up to you.